Good morning. You are listening to Push to Talk on EAA Radio with Magneto Mill here on Saturday morning on the grounds. And I'm joined for our ATC hour today by Darren Gaines with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. How are you today, Darren?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here as always.
So how's the air show been going for you so far this week?
Well, it's been a very productive one for us. A lot of traffic coming by, talking ATC questions at the NATCA booth, and a couple of safety seminars going well. So it looks like a good turnout with a lot of interest in our traffic control.
How did that safety seminar go? Tell us a little about what you talked about.
Oh, there have been several of them that NATCA has sponsored. We did one on common pilot errors as viewed from the tower, and another one on common controller errors as viewed from the cockpit. And then we just had an open ATC forum yesterday for about an hour and 15 minutes, just a general session question answer with air traffic controller. So it's been it seems to be a lot of interest in what goes on in the dark rooms of the radar rooms and the control towers.
Have you gotten any frequently asked questions that seem to be the buzzwords of the season, or?
A lot of them have to do with communications. Pilots have questions about how to appropriately interact and open dialogue with their traffic control and the proper way to do things. I really am impressed with the EA folks here, the members that come by and are really interested in safety. They want to do things right. They want to do things safe, and they're not afraid to speak up to find out what the right way is to do it. So a lot of questions about how they can become a better pilot and talk better on the radio.
Okay. And I know one of the topics, the topic we have on the list for today is modernization. So you want to tell us a little bit about what that means?
Sure. We're making some progress in upgrading the National Airspace System equipment and components and even personnel. You can include that in modernization. We're still way behind what we need to be, but we are making progress. And modernization just about upgrading the radar systems and upgrading the weather information and the radios and the satellite issues with the ADS-B and the term next gen you might have heard. All these things encompass modernization. And like I said, we're way overdue in upgrading the NAS components, but we are making progress in that regard. And I am optimistic and expect to accelerate this schedule here with this new administration in place, and all the key components are fitting into place nicely to accelerate the modernization of the National Airspace System.
Now, you mentioned next gen, and you're right, that is a buzzword that people
sure
have been hearing a lot about. What does it mean? People say next gen.
You really
is it a
can't
system?
Find.
Is it process?
I think it's a systematic replacement of the way we currently embrace technology. That's the best way to put it. If you look up a definition of next gen, you won't find one. And if you ask people at 800 Independence Avenue at FAA headquarters, you won't find anybody to be able to tell you what next gen is. I think it's more of a buzzword and a phrase to get people on board to the administration's plan to go from a ground-based radar system to a satellite-based system. And up until now, the air traffic controllers, who are a vital stakeholder in that process, have been kept completely out of the process of designing and integrating next-gen into the National Airspace System. But like I said, I expect that to change very quickly where the current administrator and this administration does embrace the controller input into what this should look like. So they've been keeping us in the dark. The frontline controller has no idea what this is all about other than what we read with everybody else. So hopefully they will re-engage with us and get our input. We're the ones that are going to have to deal with it. We're the ones that are going to have to work with it. And we're the ones that are going to be stuck holding the bag, so to speak, when this thing comes online. So they certainly need to keep us informed and get our input because we're the frontline operator. Hold it together.
Right. Well, what kind of input would you give? What kind of things do you have that NATCA
what
has a vested interest in with this?
And what doesn't? Right now, people that are making the decisions are those people that do not wear a headset. They do not work the sectors. They do not talk to airplanes. They are people that have been either never been under traffic controller, or it's been a very long time since they've been under traffic controller. And frankly, they've been out of the loop. They're not current. They don't get it. When controllers are included, we can tell them what pieces of equipment work best for controllers, you know, the whole human-machine interface issues, okay, the human factors issues. We can engineer those out ahead of time instead of them throwing a piece of equipment into the system, saying, okay, now deal with it. We can engineer out all the potential pitfalls before it even hits the street. And you can only do that with people that use it. Okay, not people that, not the engineers, not the contractor that's going to build it, but the people that actually use it need to be included in that process. And that's what NATCA can...
User analysis would be the first thing to do of any system.
Sure.
And
NATCA can provide frontline expertise and liaisons to those programs to help that be successful.
Okay, so regarding that, we're talking about modernization, and we're hearing terms that speak to both equipment upgrades and process upgrades, the way people do things.
Right.
Are those being approached in two separate avenues? I mean, what is actually happening in terms of the future outlook for
this? Again, since we haven't been included, we don't know what that blueprint looks like. Okay, all we know is what we read about in the brochures, the fancy glitter brochures that they're trying to use to promote and sell. So we really don't know what that looks like. When we do come on board, we'll have a better idea of what that concept looks like. Another part of the whole modernization, as I mentioned early on, is the personnel aspect. We are extremely critically short-staffed. We need people to operate the system as well, not just equipment and machinery and technology, but we need the people who are the last ones, the last line of defense, so to speak, to make this successful. We're very short-staffed, so we need to get the right amount of people in the right places hired and trained appropriately as well. And I think that's something that we really need to... we're way behind in filling out the pipeline for future controllers, and we need to get the controllers trained up and in place to work with this as well. So the personnel issue is the last piece of the component as well.
Well, now, if the equipment is upgraded to a certain extent, does that take away the need for as many personnel to staff or particular? Is there a trade-off that can be played with in terms of personnel versus equipment?
A lot of times, automation is supposed to reduce a controller's workload. Automation is supposed to allow controllers to do more with less. Sometimes that is true. Other times, it is just the opposite, or there's no effect at all. Sometimes automation, if it's done incorrectly, actually increases a controller's workload, or drives our attention and priorities probably where they shouldn't be, which is our priority is separating airplanes and maintaining a safe, orderly, efficient airflow of traffic through the system. And automation is supposed to increase our ability to do that. Sometimes it does, sometimes it does not. So until we know what we get to work with until it hits the street and hits a tower and a radar control center near us, we won't actually know if it's been successful or not. So the idea for automation is to be another barrier, another line of defense, another safety barrier in there for us to do our jobs easier and better. But we don't know what we're going to have yet.
So what are some of the problems that that modernization is hoping to address that currently exist in the system? I mean, for pilots, we know what we think is gunked up, I guess, on the other end of the system. But you guys see, obviously, again, the front lines. You see a lot more about what's going on in those control rooms.
What's driving modernization is very simply capacity. There's more and more planes in the system today than there ever have been. And the projection for future traffic is for that to continue on the rise. So we need to find a way to reduce separation, because airspace is finite. And, you know, when we have standard separation requirements, there's going to be delays. If we have more, you know, we have 10 pounds of airspace and 20 pounds of airplanes, there's going to be delays. We need to find a way to put more airplanes into the existing system safely, which means reducing separation. You know, basically in the in-route environment, we have 1,000 feet vertical, 5 miles lateral. In the terminal environment, that's reduced even more. So what NextGen is supposed to do and what the modernization plan is supposed to do is increase capacity, but we have to do it safely. That's what is important to NATCA and the controllers, is the safety of the system first and foremost, and then increase capacity somewhere down the line after that.
So, well, we also seem to have an increase in the diversity of aircraft that are in the system at any given time. You've got much faster personal aircraft flying. People are getting the personal jets, and you've got faster prop planes. Everything is, you know, bigger, better, faster, or
right.
Smaller, better, faster.
Right.
That must have some impact on the ability to maintain separation. And
yeah, you mentioned something there that's very true. Integration of all the players is very important, because we are getting, you know, aircraft that have... The technology and the performance of those is certainly greater than what we're used to. But we still have the light single engine, slow moving aircraft participant as well, and they need to be able to be compatible in the whole airspace system. We can't exclude them, and that's something that EAA should be watching very closely, is how their membership and the airplanes that they fly will be integrated into the National Airspace System with this modernization concept, and hopefully they will find a way to accommodate them without having, you know, mandatory equipment upgrades that are expensive for them to be able to play in the system. So that's the big thing. And you mentioned the personal jet driver. The VLJ influx hasn't really happened like it was projected to. It was projected that there would be tens of thousands of these things in the air by now. Just the sky's black with airplanes. That hasn't materialized. And
yet
it doesn't
it's on
look
the
like
rise,
it will.
No?
It's really plateaued. It shot up there briefly for a moment, Dan, but it is really plateaued. And a lot of those companies now are out of business, not producing these airplanes anymore. So the influx of these things hasn't happened as it was projected by almost everybody thought it would. It really hasn't materialized. And the projections for that right now have really stabilized as well. So I don't think it's going to be nearly an impact that a lot of people thought it was going to be.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break right now here on EAA Radio. You are listening to Magneto Mel with Push to Talk, the ATC Hour, sitting in as Darren Gaines. And this is 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, or on the web at www.airventure.org/radio.